As we look at millennials and the people that we really want to attract to our business as they get into the workforce, probably most of the companies they're going to be dealing with will be multinationals.
Donna Pankatai is presenting a new session in the upcoming mega seminar titled Demystifying Multinational, a Global Insurance View. This program covers what you need to know about insuring multinational companies and the types of programs available. This is Speaking Insurance. We have Donna with us right now to give us an overview of this topic and hopefully answer a lot of the questions you may have. So Donna, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about your background and what it is that you do.
Okay, well, my name is Donna Pankatai. I currently have my own risk management consulting company. Prior to that, I had 28 years of experience within the risk management insurance industry, helping clients structure compliant risk management and risk finance programs around the world. So in layman's terms, you know, my quest is to help businesses, whether that's domestically or internationally, evaluate the risks that they have, understand what the options are for those risks, and then help them make some informed decisions on how they might want to handle those risks.
So we're talking about insuring multinational companies. So what is a multinational company?
A multinational company would be defined as any company that has assets, operations, risks, or some other type of exposure which is outside its own home domicile.
Okay.
That would include, you know, something as straightforward as owned or leased locations in countries other than where the home office of the country is located. Or if they sell their products outside their home country, but also would include things like if they have employees traveling outside their home country, or if they're actually contracting with foreign suppliers. And that's one area that I don't think a lot of companies consider when they think of themselves as a multinational. But many times, if you're a distributor and you are contracting with some foreign manufacturers, you know, you can find yourself in a scenario where their insurance either won't be adequate or won't pay on your behalf. And so those are areas you need to think about, you know, looking at some multinational options.
So what are some of the insurance needs of such a company?
Well, there's basic property and casualty needs, but in different countries, it could, you know, in different ways as how you might handle that. Some countries have what they call compulsory insurance coverages, such as automobile or terrorism or environmental insurance. And also, it's what I've noticed in my past is that many of the multinational companies may have a different risk-taking philosophy domestically than they have internationally. So they may look at the risks that they take domestically and be more willing to take risks than what they may be willing to do in a country where they're less familiar with the regulatory environment or the laws of those countries.
So if I'm an insurance agent and I'm looking at insuring a multinational company, what do I need to know?
Well, there are a myriad of things to consider when you're looking to help a multinational company solve some of their insurance questions. Just running through a few, I mean, obviously you have to come up with a list of their assets and their exposures in each country, you know, whether that's property values, business interruption values, how much revenue do they have, how much payroll do they have, how many employees are there, how many of those employees are expats, how many of them are foreign nationals, you know, things of that nature. But also you need to consider, do they have any contractual obligations in different countries which would necessitate a specific type of insurance coverage? And then the tax strategies of your multinational client need to be considered. And by that I mean, you need to understand from them, if a claim happens in another country, where do they want that claim paid? Do they want it paid in the country where it occurred, or do they want it paid in their home country, because there could be some tax implications to that.
Tell me about some of the common approaches for structuring a multinational program.
Well, there's really three basic approaches to multinationals, and this can apply either for property or casualty type products. So the first one being what is commonly referred to as a local insurance program. And that just simply means that you buy coverage for the exposures, let's say, for instance, in Germany. You buy those coverages with a German insurance company, and you insure only those exposures in Germany.
Okay.
And that can be done, and there's some real good reasons why you might do that. It really tailors the coverage to what all the local regulations are. The policy can be written in the local language. If there's any reinsurance pools that are available, you would have access to those. But on the con side, typically they are more expensive than the other two options, and it can get very burdensome from an administration standpoint to be able to manage all these different policies with different expiration dates and different terms and conditions and different insurers. So that's one kind. So you have the local insurance program. There's another one, which is probably one of the more common ones that you see, and it is called a master policy, or can also be referred to as a controlled master program. And what that looks like is you have locally placed coverages, such as you did in my first example, but they're on a very limited basis. And then you write what is called a master policy that sits on top of those local placements. And it basically fills in the gaps in either coverage or limits from those local policies. And that's one of the most preferred methods of handling multinational insurance programs, because it does provide you kind of that belt and suspenders protection, where you've got a local policy there if you were to need some services in country, or if you wanted a portion of the claim paid in country. But then, you know, you don't have as big a worry around gaps in coverage because you have that master policy sitting over the top of that. So those are some good reasons why people do it. It can be very time consuming to try to establish a program like that, and it can be costly depending on who is writing that master policy that's sitting on top. The reason being, you know, depending on your exposures or the fact that you have a limited number of companies out there that can write these type of controlled master programs, it doesn't give you the same ability to go out and seek insurance from, you know, a multitude of insurance companies from a competitive standpoint. And then the last type of program that's typically written is what is called a global insurance program. And that is where you take all of the exposures and the assets of a multinational and you write it in one policy, which covers the entire world. You see that done fairly frequently, and it does give you that consistency of terms and conditions and limits. It also enables you to have, you know, the pricing efficiency of pooling all of the exposures together and buying the coverage all at once. But then you could find yourself in a scenario where perhaps not all the countries would recognize your insurance policy as what they call admitted coverage in their country, which could cause some regulatory compliance issues as well as some tax or claims payment issues. So it really is dependent upon the type of client and the exposures that they have as to which one of those programs might fit them best.
So then what are some questions that an agent should ask when structuring a program?
Well, certainly understanding the exposures in the country, and then also trying to figure out if there's anything in that country from an exposure standpoint that might be unique to them. You know, one thing that comes to mind for me is, you know, is it a country where political risk is high? or even a country where you may need some of the admitted coverages because the regulatory environment is much more strict. And then again, looking at what their appetite for risk is in that country. Do they want to assume a lot of risk, or would they prefer to have an insurance company assume that risk and then not have to budget or accrue for those type of losses? Understanding what kind of service or language needs they have, and then how they want communication to flow between the local client, broker, and or insurance company. So those are all areas that you need to start asking those questions, because different insurance companies have different types of networks, and some of them are strong in different countries and some of them may not have as much experience in those countries. And so that's important as you're trying to figure out how to structure a program.
What are some of the other challenges that an agent might run into when insuring a multinational company?
Well, there's really quite a number of new terminologies and concepts when you get into some of these other countries. For instance, here in the U.S., we don't typically see anything that's called a tacit renewal. And a tacit renewal is basically a concept where a policy will automatically renew unless they are notified within a certain number of days that they are not going to renew. They also have what they call tariff rates, which means that there are minimum rates that insurance companies can write coverage for in certain lines of coverage in a certain country. And then something called a financial interest clause, which is a concept whereby the corporate office could protect themselves from a loss in the country without naming the local subsidiary in that country. So these types of terminology and concepts can sometimes sound like a lot of Greek when you're starting to consider, you know, what to do with your multinational client. In addition, the regulatory environment in each of these countries is always changing. So you could have a scenario where in Germany, maybe professional liability wasn't a compulsory coverage last year, but it is this year. And it seems that the tax authorities in these different countries are getting more and more sophisticated as time rolls on in understanding, you know, what is a compliant insurance program and what isn't, because that affects the premium taxes and some of the other taxes that they're able to collect from the clients in those countries. One of the biggest areas that I think people struggle with is the whole area of communication, because in just one country, you could have a local broker, a local client, a local insurance company, and then in addition to that, you'll have your home country broker, your home country insurance company, and your home country client. So just having one country outside your home country, you could have six people involved in the conversation. And then you take that, you multiply that times 10 countries, and you can start to see how the communication could become pretty unruly without trying to set up some protocols and some ways of communicating and some service standards with these type of programs.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then I guess the last area that I would just mention is, you know, when you're dealing with multinational, you could be dealing with many different languages, many different currencies. And so trying to have consistent and accurate exposure data is a continual challenge as to how you're going to collect that, how you're going to validate that, and, you know, report that into the insurance companies, as well as how you're going to manage that exposure within your own organization.
So what are some of the resources available to help?
Well, there's a number of what I'll call tools with regard to trying to understand what are the requirements within different countries from a regulatory perspective. There's some different software tools. One of the most popular is a tool called AXCO. And then many of the insurance companies, the global insurance companies, have developed their own technology whereby they can help on a country-by-country basis a client understand the requirements and the needs for placing compulsory insurance in those countries. You know, in addition, you always have your risk management or industry groups where you can gain understanding through networking and, you know, comparing notes with some of your peers who are also multinationals. And there's a number of consulting firms, and then your legal and tax professionals, of course, because all of these things need to come together to make sure that you're understanding and addressing the various areas of risk that you may have because of this out-of-your-home country exposure.
So, Donna, what excites you about risk management and insurance?
Well, I got into the business right after college, and it was something that always grabbed my interest, mostly because it was always changing. It was always different. Every day that you wake up, you come into your office, you know, your client could buy something, they could sell something, they could have a loss, they could have an area that they just didn't understand well. And so this, to me, made it very interesting to understand the different business models and the strategies that they were employing to grow their businesses and sustain their business. And, you know, honestly, whether in good or bad economic times, businesses rely on risk management and insurance techniques to work through and mitigate their risks. And so I found that, you know, the ability to work with people in a problem-solving scenarios really was very interesting and exciting, and it still continues to be.
Definitely. And last of all, Donna, can you tell us about the mega seminar coming up in March?
Well, we're going to be presenting a 4-hour session on insuring multinational risks and the types of programs that are available. It's a new session that's being offered by the National Alliance. I have been involved personally with multinationals for more than 20 years. And one of the areas that I found was there weren't a plethora of people who had had that experience and were able to work within that scope. And as I look forward, as the world is changing, one thing that I'm noticing is that you really need to start training the next generation of insurance professionals into how to be a global account executive, how to be a global producer of insurance products. And you see your insurance companies moving and restructuring themselves in this way. And from a brokerage and a risk management perspective, I think that we need to also be doing that. And so as we look at, you know, millennials and the people that we really want to attract to our business and our industry, I thought these types of concepts and courses need to be continually developed and evolving so that as they get into the workforce, probably most of the companies they're going to be dealing with will be multinationals.
Thanks, Donna. For more information on the coming Rubel Mega Seminar in Denver, visit thenationalalliance.com. Also, check out the National Alliance on LinkedIn and let us know your thoughts on today's podcast. This is Speaking Insurance.